various denominations have special words. And so when I think of the Roman Catholic Church, I always think of the word sacrament as being a word that is very special in Roman Catholic circles. When I think of the Orthodox Church, I think of the word light, because Orthodox worship is filled with light and often illustrated with icons that shine with light from behind. When I think of the Quakers, I think of silence. Our special word in the United Church of Christ, and it is a word that we do not attend to enough, in my humble opinion, is the word covenant. Everything in the United Church of Christ hangs on covenant or falls off of covenant, because we don't have a central hierarchy dictating to Mayfield or First Church DeKalb or any of our other congregations, but in our polity, the greatest power lies within the local congregation. So it really matters how we covenant with one another. It really matters the promises that we make and the promises that we keep. A covenant is not something that I make with myself. A covenant is a matter of promise among. The covenant is a gift. It's not something that we earned. It's not something that we signed up for. It's not something that we won in the lottery. The covenant is a gift. As a way of articulating and organizing our life in relationship to a guidance and a grace and a goodness and a presence that some call God, that is reliable and consistent and steadfast in our lives. A covenant suggests that each of us does not do it all by ourselves, that we are not some self-reliant, self-actualizing individual, but that we are a part of a community that is in covenant with a greater community. So covenant in some ways is about our limitations, about the very important and very cherished piece that we bring to the mix, but an acknowledgement that we don't bring the whole mix. Covenant is core to the Old Testament, and covenant is core to the denominational family of which we are a part. And as a recognition that we don't do it all by ourselves, and that we require one another, or as we've said around Mayfield the last couple of years, will you help me to pray? Can we do this together? In the summer of 1986, I showed up at the post office that day with two big boxes. And they weren't heavy. They were only difficult to carry because they were awkward and they were big. And I heaved them up on the counter, and they were on their way to Hiroshima, Japan. And the guy behind the counter put them on the scale, and he looked at me and he said, "Lady, why are you mailing boxes of air to Japan?" And I said, "They are not boxes of air." "Well, lady, they sure feel like it." And somehow I figured I wouldn't get into a conversation about what was actually in the box, because he was convinced that I was sending boxes of air to Japan. These boxes were filled with hundreds of paper cranes that the children of the United Church of Christ in Abington had made that spring. There's a tradition in New England, or there used to be. The second Sunday in June was Children's Sunday and the end of the church school year, and the children always did something on that Sunday. And when I got to Abington, they said, "Oh, Children's Sunday is awful. You know, the first graders do five of these, and the second graders do this, you know, and the third graders do that. And the only people who come are their families, and nobody likes it." And I said, "Okay, so we're getting rid of it, and we're going to do something different." And so what we did each year was that we took a story, and the children spent 6 weeks around the story, listening to it, learning from it, and then shaping worship out of it. Fortunately, we were about 9 months from the every 20-year repainting of the inside and the outside of the church, so we could put anything on the walls of sanctuary we wanted. because it didn't matter if a little bit of paint came off. So we converted the inside of the sanctuary into a forest and told the story of Sadako Sasaki, who was two in 1945 when the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Her family lived close enough to what we would call ground zero today that as a two-year-old, she was blown out a window of the house. She survived the blast, but when, 9 years later, when she was 11, she was diagnosed with what was commonly called radiation sickness. She was diagnosed with leukemia. And she lived for about a year. She was a runner. She never ran again. And toward the end of her life, about 2 months before she died, a good friend of hers came to visit her in the hospital, and she brought her a folded crane. And there wasn't a whole lot of paper in Japan at that point. It was post-war reconstruction time. And so she had folded it out of some paper that had been inside a wrapper that had held candy or gum. And she said, "Sadako, you remember that old tradition that if you fold 1,000 paper cranes, you will receive the wish of your heart." And there are two different stories. One story goes that Sadako did, in fact, fold 1,000 before she died. The other is that she didn't fold 1,000, but that her friends finished them after her death. But after her death, this tradition of folding paper cranes as picking up an old tradition and an old art form as an expression of what we wish for most dearly spread all across the world. And since the mid-50s, people have folded paper cranes on every continent, boxed them up in boxes that don't weigh anything, sent them to Hiroshima where they are strung, usually in units of 100, and then draped around her statue in the Peace Park in Hiroshima. The folding of cranes has become a symbol for millions of people of a shared wish for a different way for us to occupy this globe, for a different way for us to settle our conflicts, and for a different way for us to ensure that there will be life in another generation. There is a string of 1,000 cranes circulating within this country right now. It was crafted by a United Church, I believe it's a United Church, in Wisconsin, and it first went to a community in Ohio that had a school shooting. It then went to Colorado. It then went to Newtown, Connecticut. It then went to Old South Church in Boston after the Marathon bombing. And where is it now? Oh, it's gone to St. Louis. It is at Christ the King, which is a UCC church right on the edge of Ferguson. So there are expressions within countries and there are expressions in the larger world of a gesture that we share that has spread out as a way of embodying the kind of covenant we would like to have with one another. A covenant for a different kind of life, a covenant for a shared hope and a shared common good, and a covenant like the covenant that would come to be after captivity in Babylon, or the covenant around waiting for a puppy to arrive for many days, a covenant, a promise that will be kept, that reminds us that we are partners together, that reminds us that with God, we can offer that covenant as gift to one another, that we can be present with one another. And one of the reasons why we pause in stillness and why there's been such an emphasis from me around stillness this season is that it is more often in stillness rather than in activity or in a lot of noise that we begin to see what the dimensions of that covenant might be. So oftentimes after we've heard something that has moved us greatly, it is only when we have sat with it, when we have gotten quiet with it, when it's sunk deeply within us, or as our unison prayer this morning said, when we in an involuntary way become a reflection of it, that we begin to see the possibilities of what that covenant might be about. Diana came this morning to confirmation. We're doing a piece of confirmation now around how is it that we embody what we believe? How is it that we give flesh and bones to the things that are important in our faith lives? And Diana came to talk about the Jane Aden School. And as she was talking about this remarkable story of what has happened in a relatively short amount of time, I began to think of all of the promises that are being made. Promises about education, promises about the connection amongst us across the globe, and why it matters to us in Mayfield Township in rural Illinois that the fate of education of girls in Kenya rises as the fate of education of children around the globe rises, why that matters, and how we put together a structure of being in the same boat together, are occupying common ground, where we gift one another with promise, and where we reflect that capacity of God to say, I promise to be steadfast with you. I promise to be there. I promise to be there even in the midst of your limitations, or you're not quite getting it right, or you're getting tired. I promise to be there knowing that you will bring something to the table, but you won't bring everything. And so we go back to this story in the prophet Jeremiah, this mighty story. The day will come when the covenant, not the guidebook, not the checkoff list, not the do-it-yourself guide, but the covenant, the participation of the Holy One, won't be something external. But it will be something internal, as deep as your hearts, written on your hearts, carried in your bones, part and parcel of who you are, so that you will reflect that covenant way of being, and you will bring that to what you care about, and to who you engage with, and to the projects that demand your attention, and that enliven who you are. We can go back to this passage in Jeremiah and remember that promise from God that we will literally embody the covenant and then be able to participate in the covenant in all sorts of very particular and specific ways. The world is a despairing place right now. The world was a despairing place in Jerusalem at this time. The city was under siege and the exile was about to take place. And yet the promise of the covenant never goes away. And the possibilities of embodying it never go away. So that in our stillness and in our deepest ways of being, we can always reflect, and through that reflection, put into action the covenant that was given to us. Again, not a guidebook, not a checklist, but a promise. Presence, partnering in all that we face and all that we dream about and all that we might become. Thanks be to God.